Let's do America first, if that's cool.
I was hoping so, yeah.
I give no shits for your voice. It just so happens that I had titled this particular file America, thinking all along that we were going to do that first. Because it
I
goes
was hoping
up first.
We did that first because of my voice.
Oh, yeah. I understand why you want it that way. I'm just saying I don't care. It just so happens to have worked out in your favor this time.
Say, can you say, what's up? This is Movies On Up. This summer, Prince Hakim discovers America. We are Movies On Up, as sloppy and sick as we may be. I am Dave, joined by my American co-host, Ryan.
Hola. I'm not sick, so I'll be sick by the time we leave this enclosed space.
Yes, and I'll be sick next week, and you probably won't be sick for another 2 weeks.
That's
perhaps.
True.
But we are Movies On Up, the tagline this week. This summer, Prince Hakim discovers America. If you know what movie that is from, it stars Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall. That's a hint. It's called Coming to America. If you know what movie that's from and you want to win the infamous Movies On Up prize package, email us, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, Twitter, @moviesonup. Our prize-winning package is growing. Our list of winners gets bigger every month or so.
Honestly, if we don't have a winner for this episode, I'm just going to assume that you people are lazy. That's really all.
I mean, if you can't get it from that tagline spells it out. This summer, Prince Hakim discovers America, and the name of the movie is Coming to America. If you can't get the movie right this week, you're not trying. But
literally, you're not trying.
But anyway, this week, Memorial Day is coming up. I was going to say 4th of July, but that's not in May.
It's coming up.
Yeah, it's coming up eventually. But yeah, it's not in May this year. Memorial Day, so that's an American holiday. So we thought, let's make a list of our top five movies that America. So it was kind of open for...
Very much.
Very open to interpretation. So what kind of criteria did you have on your list?
I guess when I thought about it, I think of Memorial Day as a very patriotic holiday. So I kind of, when I suggested it, it was movies that, you know, make you feel patriotic. But then when you wrote it up, you just said movies that America. So I figured at that point, I guess the gloves were off. We could do whatever we want. And I didn't necessarily think that was a bad idea.
No. I thought, like, okay, gotta do patriotic movies. That's fine. But I think there's going to be a lot of easy ones there. So I thought, okay, what about movies that encompass the American dream? Or movies that just make you proud to be America? Or things that, when you think America as an American, like, what comes to mind? What movie encompasses all that? So my list is kind of all over the place, which it usually is anyway, even when it's not an all-encompassing thing. But time to launch the fireworks, cook some hot dogs, and Ryan, your number five movie, That America.
It is the first movie that comes to mind, especially just thinking of America. And it is not a surprise here. It is Team America, directed by Trey Parker, starring Parker, Matt Stone, and Kristen Miller. The very song, America. Fuck yeah, that absolutely makes you feel like an American, because that's kind of the attitude that we have. But the thing that I like about this movie, it's the only entry on my list that can manage to make you feel patriotic and then embarrassed at the same time for feeling patriotic. And that's something that I really feel like Stone and Parker are particularly adept at. At some point, you realize that they're kind of making fun of you, and you shouldn't be really flag-waving to this movie, but you want to do it nonetheless, because you're like, yeah, this is ridiculous, but we kind of do that, and that's what makes us kick ass. In one instant, you're absolutely rooting for the puppets to just kick everybody's ass, and then, you know, you feel like an ass for perpetuating that idea that America is some kind of, like, superhero, not unlike Captain America, but that is just, we are a nation of ass kickers, and we are literally the police of the world.
This showed up on my list too, but for sake of flow, I'll say it was my number five and not much higher on my list. I love this movie so much, and I feel like people didn't get it when it came out. And I hate to be the guy that's like, oh, people didn't like it because they didn't get it. I think it was too smart. And
wasn't South Park. And
no.
I think, you know,
but
a lot of people just want South Park.
But much
guys.
Like South Park, South Park has always been the smartest show on television for the dumbest people, because it's so smart and so well done, but it goes right over the majority of his audience's head. I think the majority of people that love South Park don't get how brilliant it is. And I feel like Team America was that to a T. Everything you said where it's like, yeah, we shouldn't be rooting for this. It was all satire about, like, we do build ourselves up like superheroes, especially in, you know, a certain...
The post-9/11 world.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, when this movie came out, especially, like, we were the world's superhero, but... That's not a good thing necessarily. That's not, if we view ourselves like that, that doesn't mean everybody else does. So I love that this movie shoved that down the throat, and it was so funny. And just the patriotic song, the America song, it's just so good and so ridiculous. Just about, like, even the celebrities and what they're doing, like, it took everything about, like, America and what we stand for, and just kind of, just, it was a perfect satire. And it was damn hilarious. I mean, the sex scene was, yeah. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And just the effort and everything. Like, these guys, I feel like, as big as South Park is, I feel like they're somewhat underappreciated. It's probably some of the most amazing comedic minds ever. Between South Park, between Book of Mormon.
That's the thing. I would have wholeheartedly agreed with you up until Book of Mormon. That seems like it did just cross over and... Everyone kind of realizes that these dudes are brilliant. They should have had that after Team America, showing that they're not just a one-trick pony.
Because they could have done this in the same style as South Park. They could have done an animated movie, but they wanted to do something different. The movie stands out just because it's a marionette movie. Like, what's your top five puppet movies? Start, like, straight-up marionette movies. You can't. Like, I can come up, this would be number one on that list too.
Yes.
And bump down to number five if it was your number five. But I mean, they're just two dudes that started doing stuff. So in a way, they encompass the American dream, because they're two dudes that had the talent to become huge superstars. And, you know, they did it. They found their way. Your number four movie that America's.
My number four, again, has America right in the title. It is an animated film from 1986, An American Tale, directed by Don Bluth, starring Philip Glasser, Dom DeLuise, Christopher Plummer. I guess America, well, I mean, they've been told America is the great melting pot, kind of the sum of all its parts. Many of the best American stories aren't really American by nature. They're immigrant stories and eventually become American. My next one is kind of the same thing as well, my number three. This one, if you take out the fact that the main character is a mouse, it's kind of harrowing. You have a Russian Jew that gets separated from his family during their relocation to America. And if you're ever curious about what kind of racism was going on in Russia, check out the first 15 minutes, because it's really a recent history lesson about racism in Russia. And who doesn't want that at the beginning of a kid's movie? I digress. If you're ever curious about what kind of pitfalls might befall someone trying to emigrate to another country, just watch the last 65 minutes of this movie, because it is pretty much one catastrophe after another for little Fievel. But he is a plucky little dude that's got a really good attitude no matter what happens to him. If he gets sold into slavery at a sweatshop, or held captive by cats that want to eat him, he's still got a pretty good attitude. And I am not too much of a man to admit that Somewhere Out There is still one of my jams. That's a great song.
It's such an amazing song for a movie. What year was this, 84?
No, it was 86.
86. It's such a phenomenal song that, like, stands the test of time. Like, it seems like such a random movie. Like, people are familiar with Fievel and American Tale.
The second one, maybe Fievel Goes West.
Yeah, but. I'd rather strike that from the record.
This one was good.
This one was really good, and it was social commentary in a kid's movie. It's a kid's movie about immigration and the hardships of that, which I thought was ballsy. And
a very particular group of people.
Yeah.
Russian Jews. I mean,
yeah,
Fiddler on the Roof, but with mice.
Yeah. It was great. My number four-ish movie that America's. We're going to make it 3 for 3 with movies with America in the title. You think American summers. You don't have school. You know, you're going to summer camp.
You're getting wet.
It's wet. It's hot outside. It's summer and you're American. My number four movie, Wet Hot American Summer. Yeah, it's another comedy, but I think overseas, if, when you think about American summers, I think you just they probably just picture us as summer camp because of all the summer camp, how it's embodied in pop culture. I don't know if summer camp's still a thing. I never went.
I don't think we do the entire summers now. I mean, I think if you look at the rash of summer camp movies that were out in like the 70s and 80s, that reflected a time when we did that. You don't have summer camp movies anymore.
My brother went to one growing up every year, but it was a week, and then he'd come back.
Yeah, I went for a week, and it was a week longer than I wanted to.
I went one year, and then I pretended I was homesick and came home on Tuesday. So my parents had to make the hour-and-a-half drive because I didn't have Elizabeth Banks, Paul Rudd, Bradley Cooper, Joe LaTruth. I didn't have all these awesome camp counselors that would take me into the city to do drugs for an hour. That would feed me barbecue ribs on the boat. Like, it just, this movie is awesome. And this movie, it does take that idea of summer camp and what a wet, hot American summer should be and just makes it goofy, makes it funny. And then you have the Chris Maloney character who's your war vet who maybe hasn't accustomed himself to a society just yet, maybe shouldn't be around people, but
his lines, every line he has in the movie is so good.
Oh, Christopher Maloney in that movie is phenomenal. Everything he says is so good, and everything he says makes me proud to be an American, as does this movie, Wet Hot American Summer.
Dick cream made in America, right?
Excuse me, I have to go hump my sweaters.
My number three is a real laugh riot, starring another immigrant from the 80s as well. It is Brian De Palma's Scarface from 1983, starring Al Pacino, Stephen Bauer, and Michelle Pfeiffer. The American dream, 2.5 kids, a house in the suburbs, and a white picket fence. I guess opportunity is what brings a lot of folks to the country. And the promise of no cats, ask Fievel's dad, see my number four. I don't think Tony Montana had in mind a white picket fence. He ended up with some white mounds for sure. But opportunity is what brought him to America. Opportunity and getting out of a dictatorship is what forced his move to Miami in 1980 from Cuba. Only in America can you have somebody commit murder to get a green card and then work his way all the way up to the title of drug lord while chasing a vapid coke whore. All told, I guess it's a good thing that Fievel got tricked into working at a sweatshop and not working for a drug cartel, or my number four could have had a dramatically different ending. I was thinking about movies specifically that have that rags-to-riches element, because that seems to be America's, the land of opportunity. And I think it means more for people that emigrate to this country, the opportunity,
because they haven't taken it for granted yet.
Exactly. So I wanted to find that immigrant that, you know, comes to the country with nothing, rises, and then, you know, whatever happens after that, fine. But I mean, I think that Tony Montana is this movie tremendous? No. But he's the embodiment of I've got nothing, and then literally the world is mine. Twism. That's where that comes from.
You just lost our entire rapping audience by saying this movie isn't great.
I said maybe it's not great.
This one was on my radar, but only because one of my also-rans is a very similar story. One of the first movies that came to mind was Blow for me. Very, very much the same story as Scarface, just a different person and less stylized, less sensationalized. We were on the same page there. I ultimately left Blow off. I think I've stated before that I love Blow.
I think you did.
Yeah, but so I left that movie off. But my number three, we've had laugh riots up until Scarface, so I'm going to take some more time off of laugh riots with my number, whatever this is, three. 1989's Glory. What better way to feel American than a movie about the war that basically defined us and made us one? And Glory, like, I'm not a big war fan movie. I'm not a big war movie fan. I'll say it that way instead.
That probably makes more sense.
Yeah, I'm not a big war movie fan, but something about Glory and the story that it tells. I mean, here you have the Civil War, which, and if you think back of it on history, it's like, that's a pretty stupid thing. The fact that one country just couldn't decide on one thing and went to war about it is insane. But then you have the Denzel Washington, Morgan Freeman's, and them that understand what this side is fighting for and want to fight with them. And then Matthew Broderick leading him. I just think everything about this movie is so good. And I believe it was Denzel's first. I don't think it was his first nom. I think it was his first win. I could be wrong on that. I'm not fact-checking it, so go for it.
These people don't enter our tagline contest. They're not going to fact-check you about Denzel.
It's such a good movie, and it is. I mean, yeah, say what you will about 1776. I feel like Civil War is more the birth of the nation because it more got us, you know, basically established. It ended something that was wrong that the forefathers let go, and I feel like it got us on pace to where we should have been going. Glory was really good, and I just like everything about it. Like, I realize it's been goofy up till then, but just that makes me feel good about America, that existed in history, that it was such a – one half of the country felt so strongly about how wrong this was and fought for it, and then the people they were fighting for joined them to fight for it instead of just being handed it. So I really like Glory. It makes me proud to be an American. And it's a really awesome movie, coming from somebody who doesn't even like war movies.
Sure, it's set during the Civil War, and there are some really graphic battle scenes. I mean, everybody talks about Saving Private Ryan, but when the guy gets his head shot off with the cannon, like, that's something that sticks in the craw there. And even, spoiler alert, the Civil War doesn't end very well for Matthew Broderick and his buddies. But that's a very impactful scene, and sure, you know, it is about the division between the North and the South, but it's also, I think it's more about coming together, and I think you mentioned it. It's not just coming together as a country, but as a group of Americans, where you have a white officer who's volunteering to lead a division of African Americans, and knowing full well what's going to happen to these guys and having the opportunity to bail on them and essentially save himself, he doesn't. Spoiler alert again, I guess. I don't know. This movie is like 20 years old. What am I worried about it for?
And the history is a little older than 20.
The North wins. Spoiler alert. But yeah, I love Glory. Really good movie. It is my favorite Civil War movie. I will give you that. I probably have a war movie later on in the list. It's not my number two. However, my number two is a sports movie. I feel like there are a lot of sports movies that make you feel...
I'm just unnerved. My number two is a sports movie also.
It may be the same one.
It might be, and I'm curious. I'm hoping it is.
Miracle if it was the same movie.
I'm hoping it is, because that would be... that. It might not top Beetlejuice as our favorite haunted house movie, being on the same page there, but I was proud of myself for coming up with this one. So go on.
All right. As Americans, I think we tend to root for the underdog. If you don't really have a favorite team in any given game, yeah, you root for the team that's supposed to lose. Just because I think as Americans, that's kind of our spirit. We were an underdog when we went up against England and won our independence, and that was probably the last time we were an underdog in anything. But, yeah, we still have that chip on our shoulder. Sports movies, you know, are built around this idea of rooting for the underdog. There aren't very many that are about a team that's supposed to win. There's a bunch of drama and that team wins. Usually it's kind of the other way around. There's a bunch of movies that you could have picked. Rocky IV is kind of the one that jumps to mind, because you have your quintessential movie underdog in Rocky, an American guy going up against the supreme Soviet creation in Ivan Drago. But I picked another sports story set in the Russian-American rivalry of the Cold War era, and it is 2004's Miracle, directed by Gavin O'Connor, starring Kurt Russell and Patricia Clarkson. This one, I give it the edge because it is based on a true story that really is almost too good to believe. You have Russell, who plays the prickly Herb Brooks, who was the coach of the American hockey team, to an absolute T. The speech he gives, "I don't give a crap" speech, could be ridiculously cornball, but the way Russell portrays it, it fits. You've got a ragtag group of amateurs who knock off the Soviets in a game that, as Americans, 360 days out of the year, we don't care about. But when it comes to playing on the Olympic stage in our backyard in Lake Placid against this team that was built to win, that was built to beat the crap out of our guys, it didn't happen. And it makes you feel good. It makes you, you know, again, you know, you said it, proud to be an American. especially if, like myself, you weren't alive in 1980 to catch this the first time. You know what happens, and you still get wrapped up in it, and you're still rooting for them when they do win.
What's crazy about this movie is the line from that happens, is Al Michaels calling it, "Do you believe in miracles?" Like, that's where the name of the movie came from. That's, you can't think of that instant without thinking of, "Do you believe in miracles?" The original producer did not want that line in the movie, and instead wanted Al Michaels to come in and just pretend he was calling it again without saying that line. Like, Google that story. There's all over the internet. There's Al Michaels telling that story about how that wasn't supposed to be in the movie. It's fascinating how stupid some execs can be. This was not my sports movie on number two, but I'm not going far off. Much like the American-Russian conflict that we had that we settled on ice, right behind that, maybe in the second greatest American hockey win, when America upset Iceland in D2, the Mighty Ducks, in the, what were they, the Pan Am Games?
Yeah.
It was a sports movie that popped up. Like, I haven't seen Miracle because I know how it ends. So. But so I kind of went. I
was going to ask you, like, on what planet you're living that you think of hockey movies about America and D2 is on any level better than Miracle. But now I understand.
Well, that's where it was. It's like, oh, Miracle's a good story about America. I haven't seen it. Mighty Ducks 2, though.
That I have.
Because they
seen.
Go into the third period.
Right.
Down 3-0 to Iceland, and Gordon Bombay gives that speech, and the whole turning point of it is, where are you from? St. Paul, Minnesota, Chicago, Illinois, and they just all start yelling out their home cities. And then they go out, and I think they won. It's been a long time since I've seen it. They might have lost for all I know, but it was a great moment. I don't remember the end of D2, the Mighty Ducks.
That's
forgive
me. That's how good the Bombay speech was, because you don't remember the outcome. You just remember.
I was so fired up,
Clack.
I didn't care how
Clack.
It ended. Yes, yes. So I think Miracle might be at the top of American hockey movies, but right behind it, D2, the Mighty
Ducks.
It's like
1 and 1A.
Yeah,
probably.
Take it down. And what's odd is that they didn't want the Al Michaels line, "Do you believe in miracles," to be in this movie either.
Yeah,
and it wasn't.
They asked Al Michaels to re-record that line. He was like, no, if I...
Not really a miracle.
Miracle
you wrote
did.
This movie.
Yeah, this was scripted to happen, so I can't believe anyone is surprised, unless they were scripted to lose, in which neither of us can remember it was that important.
Yeah, they won or lost that game, but it was a great American
moment. They
didn't
tie. They didn't draw, which you can do in hockey.
Yeah, it was a great American moment on cinema.
My number one is my, I guess it was like the obligatory war movie, because I don't really count Team America as an actual war movie.
Which is good. I think anybody that's been in actual war would have something to say if you did.
Probably. But the first 10 minutes of this movie, I think, is really about the most patriotic thing that you could possibly imagine. Again, speaking of speeches, that's what this movie opens with. It opens with a giant American flag and George C. Scott as General Patton giving his blood and guts pep talk to the troops. And it perfectly sets up the character of Patton. Now, I never met the guy. I didn't serve under him. But he absolutely seems like a damn movie character. And you can actually, there's audio recordings of Patton giving the speech. And when you hear George C. Scott do it, and you hear Patton do it, you think to yourself, holy shit, this is the same guy. This guy was a movie character. It's tremendous. Plenty of war movies can make you feel good about your country, but very few of them can actually make you say, yeah, I'd fight for this guy too. The first 10 minutes of Patton do that, and in my mind, he would have fit in perfectly on Team America.
Or at the end of D2, the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah, he could say, no hockey game was ever won by a bastard dying for his country.
Quack, 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 quack.
Right, yeah, something like that. You can watch the rest of Patton, and you probably should, because it's a good movie. Full of all sorts of crazy things that guy did. But just that first speech is so iconic.
If you don't know that movie, if you've not seen the movie, you're familiar with at least the imagery of Patton just standing in front of the,
you know, hundreds of times, and there's a reason for it, because it is iconic.
Yeah, like this one popped up on my radar. This and Saving Private Ryan. I put Glory on there. I felt of those. I liked Glory the most. And I didn't want to just load it with war movies because that would maybe take away a future episode that we haven't done yet. But, yeah, Patton's really good. And that was one of the first ones to come to mind. But, again, of war movies, I put Glory. My number one, I go in a different direction of yours. Yours is super, super patriotic and, you know, what America stands for. Mine is more kind of embodies the American dream. Like we talked about with Scarface and I mentioned Blow. Just about coming out of nowhere.
This is about drugs.
This is not about drugs. Maybe. Music can be a drug. Success and fame can be a drug. When you're working in your parents' electronics store and you have dreams of just being a big-time musician and you get that break and Tom Hanks comes in and saves you and you go on to superstardom and then have it all taken away in an instant, that's America. That's my number one, that thing you do. Awesome, awesome movie. To sum that all up, it does a lot of what Scarface does. It does a lot of what Blow does. It does, like, Boogie Nights was one that was going to make my list because it's very much the same kind of story. You get what you want. And in America, you're able to do that. You can be that guy working in the electronics store that band gets a song that just hits it. And you can do that, but if you're not careful, it goes away pretty quick. And I like that about that thing you do because it shows their rise and then how it's not even a fall. It just kind of, it's over. That happens all the time. And that's where I think one thing America has become so known for is our pop culture. And how pop culture is just every day getting more and more people. You know, you got your Carly Rae Jepsen that was 2 years ago, this monster thing. And then now who's Carly Rae Jepsen, but you know, the name. And the Oneaters were very much like that. They very much encompassed that story and they went from, you know, your favorite band to your punchline. That's what happens a lot. And people dream of that. People dream of just that 15 minutes of fame. And that's what I think we get looked at a lot is Americans are just people that'll do anything to be famous for any amount of time. Damn the consequences. And I think that thing you do pretty much sums all that up. And it's a damn fine movie with some awesome, awesome music in it along the way.
I think, you know, we talked enough about the American dream and it's really, with the exception of Fievel, everything worked out for him. Spoiler alert. But, you know, kind of our other examples of that, not so much.
Glory was okay.
They
won.
Yeah.
Mighty Ducks 2 might have been okay.
It could have been. That's true.
If they won, that worked out fine for them.
And Miracle, yeah, that was only like the semifinals anyway. It wasn't even the finals. They won that. Canadians beat those fellas too, eh? So I guess, yeah, the American dream can go one of two ways. It can go good or you can end up dead in a ditch.
Did you have any also-rans on yours?
I think a lot of the war movies, like the Patriot for me.
Patriot was an obvious one.
Yeah. Thinking of the Revolutionary War there.
Born on the 4th of July was obvious.
Yeah. I mentioned the Rocky movies. You could really.
Any of those.
Yeah. Any of them. For me, specifically 4, because it was. Yeah, he was actually fighting a foreigner, not a guy dressed up like Uncle Sam, because I feel like that's kind of just America committing a hate crime on itself. I feel like this list was really easy for me to do. Because I had at least 3 of them came to mind really, really quickly. Patton, Team America, and An American Tale. Those I knew were going to be on my list. And it's just like, okay, well, let me try and find a sports movie. Oh, yeah, Miracle will work very nicely.
Yeah, like a lot of my also-rans. Like,
and drugs.
Yeah, Blow I left off because I figured you would have Blow or Scarface. Boogie Nights I left off because it's the same. A lot of mine's I left off.
Because that one's about coke, too.
Well, yeah, but I felt that more in line with that thing you do because it's about the rise and takeaway. A League of Their Own, because it's America wants what they want. So you're like, okay, we don't our baseball players are gone, so we have to do it no matter what. And that also covered the farm girl from whatever becoming, you know, getting what she always wanted. So I thought A League of Their Own was good, but I wanted D2 for my sports movie. And All the President's Men. I thought was good because it kind of, the little guy kind of takes on, it's a very David and Goliath story, which happens, it can be happening. So I thought All the President's Men encompassed a lot of what I like about America. So those were my also-rans. If we missed any, which I'm sure we did, share us your red, white, and blue memories of movies. Hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com. Facebook.com/moviesonup, Twitter at moviesonup. Send us the tagline this week. It was coming to America. Email that to us and you'll win a prize pack. Until then, you can find more of us at moviesonup.com. I'm at davepacella.com, but I haven't updated it forever. And next week we'll be back because it's another week.
And we'll be talking about TED. Because
it'll be TED Talks.
TED Talks, because
talking TED.
A very American genre. Westerns. The guy that did TED, that Theodore fella, he's got that new Western, Million Ways to Die in the West. That'll
be next week. So until then,
keep it up, America.